Shalom, Havarim.
Hello, friends. Kind of weird after I've been up here talking to you to come back up and say hello. Bring me up just a bit. Now, you know that I start every Sunday with a joke, and this is no exception, but I need your undivided attention. I came across a joke. It was really good this week. I saw it on Monday on Facebook. Maybe some of you saw it as well, and it has nothing to do with the sermon today, but it was the funniest thing I saw all week, and I'm probably setting it up too much right now, and you're just going to be disappointed. But it's very involved, and you may miss it. And if you miss it, just laugh anyway so that the people beside you don't realize that you didn't get it. Okay? All right. There are some illustrations up here that will help you better understand it. All right. Any musicians out there? Any people who are involved with music? Musicians? Yes, we have musicians in the house. Or theater people. You know, theater. Oh, yes. I knew that people were here from the theater. Excellent. So you understand this concept. When you are in a performing hall of some sort, if you go down to a theater of some sort, you know that things are set up so when the person is standing up front, the musician or the actor, that their voice or their musical instrument will bounce off the walls and then it ends up to the people, on the people's ears as they sit in the congregation. You're aware of this phenomenon. Like the sound is supposed to bounce off the walls and it goes to the person sitting in the audience. Things are designed like this. Theaters are designed to have the sound bounce to the individual sitting in the audience. So it's kind of like this illustration right here. Musicians up on stage, sounds bouncing off the walls, off the ceilings, off the floor, ends up in the ears of the person sitting in the congregation. This works for spoken word. It works for musical instruments as well. But studies have found that this does not work for pigeons. If a pigeon sits in a theater and they begin to like speak against the walls, the sound of the pigeon's voice does not bounce off the walls. It does not land on the ears of the people in the congregation. Do you know why this is? Because acoustics. Laugh anyways, because your neighbors are looking at you. Acoustics. The pigeon makes the sound of a coo. It doesn't bounce. It sticks. And I see it's being explained back there. I'll give you a second. Anyway. And to the one person that's watching right now online, I'm sorry. So we have been going through this unintentional sermon series the last number of weeks. I've preached a number of sermon series. You've shared with me some of your favorite sermon series. We've talked about Anabaptist theology. We've talked about the Schleitheim Confession. We've looked at the Apostles' Creed. You know, I've even looked at different traditions and what we can learn from other churches. And those were very intentional sermon series. But I realized that I unintentionally stumbled into a sermon series recently. Because a couple of weeks ago, three sermons ago, it was Pentecost Sunday, and I preached on the Holy Spirit. Last week was Father's Day, and I preached on God the Father. So it would only make sense that today, after preaching on the Holy Spirit, and then preaching on God the Father, that today I would preach on what? Pickles. We're going to talk about pickles today. No, we're going to talk about Jesus today. And you saw my sermon title. I spent so much time working on that. I just called this one Jesus. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Jesus. And I realize that I talk about Jesus every Sunday. I mean, this is a Christian church. That's what we do. And I realize there's also a number of things that I could lift up about Jesus. We can focus on Jesus as Savior. We could talk about Jesus as friend or Jesus as the prophet. Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus as this political or religious reformer. We can talk about all sorts of things. But what I want to focus on today is the essence of Jesus. Ooh, yeah, you're intrigued now. You're like, man, I got potatoes coming. Come on, man. Jesus and his essence. And we are going to look at that because we can spend all sorts of time looking at these different things about Jesus. But if we don't get this one nailed down, I think a lot of those things don't really matter. So we're going to spend some time today looking at just who Jesus is and why it matters. But first, a little confession. Anybody here like superhero movies? Comic book movies? I'm not the only one. I know that some of you are not admitting to it, even though I know you do. So I'm like 42 years old, and like I'm still just this child here, watching these comic book movies and television shows based on comic books. Like, these are written for kids, are they not? Well, I'm still intrigued by them. So no judgment. This is church, right? Judgment-free zone? Nobody ever said that about church before? What? No. Don't judge me. But I was watching a show this week, and it has these superheroes, and it has regular people, like every other superhero show does. And in this one episode, this regular guy who has had this really rough life is having a conversation with a pastor. And he's going to this pastor because he has all these questions, and he doesn't believe in God. This guy is an atheist, and he's actually antagonistic toward God. He's gone through all of this stuff. He's lost his wife. He's lost his family. And he has all these questions. He just can't believe in God. So he comes up to this pastor without any kind of warming up, and he calls God a very nasty name. He says, "I just don't know how you can believe in a God who causes kids to get cancer. I just don't know how you can believe in a God who leads us to genocide as a people. I just can't understand how you would follow that kind of a God who looks out on all the mess that has become that he has created, and his best solution to all of this mess is to kill his only son, his innocent son, and to take out his wrath, his rage, not upon the people who have earned it, but upon his innocent son. I just can't understand how you can worship that kind of God." And I hear these kind of critiques sometimes. You've heard this before. How can you worship that God? But when I hear somebody saying, how can you worship a God that causes kids to get cancer? Or how do you believe in a God that calls for genocide? I simply say, I don't believe in that God either. When you hear people saying, your God is a jerk if your God is doing this, and if your God is doing that, and if your God is just pouring out his wrath upon his son because he has to pour it out upon someone, that God is a jerk. But that's not the God that I worship. I worship the God who is revealed in Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. Now, I've lifted up my pillars of theology a number of times in this church, and I haven't made it a formal sermon. Maybe I'll do that sometime, but I have kind of these pillars that I build upon as I do my theology. And here's just a couple of them. When I do theology, I start with the position that every person is made in the image of God. Look at the person to your left and to your right. You don't have to say anything to them. I know that we're all sensitive. We don't like to talk to people, especially these strangers. That person to your left, the person to your right, the person in front of you, the person behind you, is created in the image of God. And because they are created in the image of God, they are worthy of love and respect. An infinite amount of love and respect. Yes, even your mother is created in the image of God and deserves your respect. And likewise, your son, created in the image of God and worthy of your respect. God's grace is available to everyone who asks. It's there. That's it. You ask, it's yours. And what I want to focus on today is, if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. Now, too often we pit God and Jesus against one another. Have you ever heard people do this? You know, we might have a God who causes kids to get cancer, but then we have a Jesus who is loving. A God who is angry, but a Jesus who's full of grace. We talk about a God who wants, you know, calls people to genocide, and a Jesus who is a peacemaker. And I simply want to say, no, that's not who God is. If you want to know what God looks like, you look at Jesus. Because Jesus always was God, Jesus is God, and Jesus always will be God. All right, world's longest opening, and now it's time for the Carry and Beyond. No, you don't have anywhere to go, right? Lunch is here today. What time do you have to leave for Ohio in the morning?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. All right, I'll have you out of here by then. Okay, so I'm talking about how Jesus is God. There's a lot of different aspects about Jesus that we could lift up, but Jesus, we must begin with this concept that Jesus is God. Is that foreign to anybody here? Is this the first time you're hearing it? He's not just a good man, not just a prophet. He is God in human flesh. And there's a number of ways that we come about this understanding. We can look at what Jesus said about himself, what Jesus did, and what other people said about him. Those are the three things we'll focus on here this morning. For instance, Jesus says this in John's Gospel, John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." Now, I know that can mean a lot of different things. Like, I can look out here, and I just made eye contact with Leland. And I'm like, "Leland, you and I are thinking the same thing, aren't we? We're thinking, let's go get some tacos, right?" I'm bored. No. Anybody thinking tacos yet? All right, so now Will and I, and Stuart also, now you're all thinking about tacos. We're on the same page, right? You and I, we're like, tacos sound really good right now. Everybody's thinking tacos sound good right now. You and I are one, man. We're on the same wavelength. We have the same mindset. We are together on this. We want tacos. Some people could say, you know, this is kind of what Jesus is saying, that he and God are on the same wavelength. They're of the same mind. And that would make sense. But notice that's not how other people interpreted what Jesus had to say. So this is verse 30. Let's add the next two verses. Verses 31 through 33. Again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. Like, let's just stop right there for a second. Again, they pick up stones to stone him. Like, how many times has this happened, Jesus? Sometimes you just have to slow it down and realize how weird our scripture is. All right, so again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you want to stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." So Jesus says, again, "I and the Father am one." Their response is, "Let's pick up some stones and we're going to throw it at this guy because he is blaspheming. He's calling himself God." Now, if Jesus was not saying that he is in fact God, what do you do at that point? You say, no, I'm just talking about being of the same mindset as God. Like, we're on the same wavelength. When I think tacos, he thinks tacos. But he doesn't say that. When the people pick up the stones and they say, "You're claiming to be God," what does Jesus say? He says the very theological thing. He says, "Yep." It's in the Greek. All right. So Jesus doesn't, like, stand up. He doesn't try to explain this away or anything like that. He just says, yeah, that's right. A couple chapters later, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. He's about ready to leave. He's about ready to go to be crucified. And one of his disciples says, "Jesus, show us the Father." And Jesus responds, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Okay. Very good. What does that mean? Well, it means that it's more than just like having a similar look as the Father. It's more than being just kind of like the Father. Jesus is saying that he and the Father are the same. And I hear people saying things all the time. They're saying things like, you know, "Why didn't Jesus, if Jesus was really God, why didn't he just come out and say it?" Now, where do we find that Jesus actually says that he is divine, that he is God? And where can we find this kind of passage? And I'm like, right there. Like, what more do you want him to say? So these are some of the things that Jesus said that let us know that he was, in fact, God in human flesh. Some of the things that Jesus did when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, many of the Gospels say that he went straight to the temple. And what did he do there? He didn't just pray. He starts turning over tables. Starts chasing people out. Now, I've been to some church services where I really disagree with what's being said. I'm not alone. But I have never been in a service where I so like disagree with like what the pastor was saying that I just went up and like nope, you don't get that no more. Get out of here. I'm sorry. Glenn's going to need that later. Like, I've never like had that kind of a showing where I just like showed everybody up and chased people out. But Jesus is here. Like, he has obviously some sort of authority over what's going on. An average person doesn't do that. And many people say that's why he was killed that weekend, because of that showing of authority there. Other places, like in Mark chapter 9, we find this story about how some people brought a paralytic to Jesus to be healed. And when they show up with this paralyzed guy, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." And the people hear Jesus say this, and you know what they do? They pick up stones, and they try to stone him. They accuse him of blasphemy. And why would this be blasphemy? Because only God can forgive sins. So what Jesus says, what Jesus does, points us to the fact that Jesus is indeed God. Let's look at what some other people say, especially Paul in today's passage. Duane read for us from Colossians, the very beginning of that chapter. He begins this passage in verse 15. He says this. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God." You can't see God, but what you can see is Jesus. He goes on, verse 16, "For in him all things were created." This is an affirmation of the prologue to John's gospel. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things came into being." Jesus isn't some separate entity. Jesus was right there, intricately involved in the creation of the world. Then we have ones like this, verses 19 through 20. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," we'll come back to that, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things." All right, you remember that whole critique about how God just is so angry, God's ready to pour out his wrath upon anybody, it doesn't even matter who, and he even takes it out on his son because he's so mad. Remember that critique? Well, it changes a lot if Jesus isn't some separate entity, but is actually God here with us. So rather than God just being so angry, he takes out his wrath upon someone, no, God actually came to the world and absorbed this pain that our sins resulted in. But then we have this one line, this weird line. What does that even mean? "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Is that how anybody here talks? Yeah, all right, sure, sometimes. No, that's not really clear language to us. But what we're speaking of here is the concept of the Trinity. How does God dwell within Jesus? Well, he dwells within him fully. And I've said many times before, if you want to try to explain the Trinity to me, I would love to sit down and have this conversation with you and tell you exactly how you fit into one of the historical heresies of the church. Which is to say, it's a concept well beyond my level of understanding. But we see here that Jesus isn't just kind of God. Jesus isn't just like represent God in a certain kind of way. Jesus is fully God here on earth. So why does this matter? Oh, I got one more here, sorry. So I say that Jesus is God, but let us remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And not only that, Malachi 3:6, God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." So Jesus always was God, Jesus is God, and Jesus always will be God. Now we ask the question, why does this matter? You've probably heard people say things like, "Yeah, Jesus was a loving person when he was here, but he's coming back, and man, is he angry." There's some funnier ones that I just couldn't show at church. So if you, on your own free time, want to search for angry Jesus. Jesus did get angry, but Jesus isn't going to be a different person when he comes back. When Jesus gets angry here during his time on earth, it's because he's looking out on the people, and he's kind of got the same response as like a father has when his parent or when his children act up. That father gets angry at the children because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not living their best life. I'm told that some parents get angry at their kids. Is that true? I hear stories about that. It happens. But in those moments when Jesus gets mad at the people, he's not just mad at them to get mad. He's not just mad because he's an angry dude. He's mad because they're just not living in their full potential to love one another, to serve one another, to make this world more like the kingdom of God. So I hear people saying these things, like, "Oh, when Jesus comes back, man, then you're going to get it." No, he's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a couple years ago, my sister-in-law got me a t-shirt. And I don't wear it nearly enough, in part because it's gray and I sweat easily. Too much information, Pastor. This shirt says this. Picture of Jesus, and he's quoted there and says, "I never said that," which is funny because he never said that, and it didn't quote. All right. But I look at the things that people accuse God of doing, or the people that accuse God of being a certain way, and I want to say, you know, if Jesus is the full manifestation of who God is, we look to what Jesus said, and if that's not, if that isn't reflected in the person of Jesus, that's not who our God is. So I hear people saying, you know, how do you worship a God who gives kids cancer? Well, I don't remember when Jesus ever gave kids cancer. Did I miss that? And people say, you know, how do you worship a God who is genocidal and calls down the wrath and wants you to wipe out entire, you know, groups of people? And I want to respond and say, you know what, you're right. Many wars have been fought in the name of Jesus. But yet, Jesus is also the one who said, blessed are the peacekeepers, the peacemakers. So I hear people talking about all these things about God, and they are simply projecting these ideas upon God. And I want to say, you know, Jesus never said that. Jesus never did that. If you have a difference between your understanding of who God is and who Jesus is, then you are missing the point. If you want to know what God is like, we look to Jesus. Now, in the 19th century, there was a guy named Ludwig Feuerbach who lived in Stanton. No. Where does he sound like he's from? He's from Germany. Feuerbach had this wonderful idea. He was he was an atheist. He was a philosopher. He was an anthropologist is the word I'm looking for. And he came up with this concept that you've probably heard before. And I think there's something true to what he's saying. Feuerbach said that man created God in his own image. And you've heard this concept before. And again, I think there's some truth to it. People jokingly say, and they get this from Feuerbach, that God created man in his own image, and we then return the favor. And what Feuerbach's saying here, and this is what he calls, it's his projection theory, is that our idea of God is often simply a projection of what we believe to be valid or valiant or good or right. So we construct God based on our own preconceived understandings. And I think this is just as true for those who are antagonistic toward God. If you find something that's repulsive in this world, you project that upon God. And we can see that for thousands of years, humanity has formed God in their own image. We have taken the people that we don't like, and we assume that God doesn't like them as well. We assume that God is for the things that we are for, that God votes for the people that we vote for, that God is against the things that we are against. And so often we project our concepts, our understanding, our things that we believe are noble upon the deity, or the things that we think are terrible, we put against God and accuse him of those. But I just want to say one more time as I close here today, if your God doesn't look like Jesus, it's not the God of the Bible. Jesus came to this earth as this loving, peaceful, justice-seeking, righteousness-seeking individual, this itinerant homeless preacher who went from town to town calling people to love one another, to care for one another, to provide for those who couldn't provide for themselves. If your God doesn't look like that, maybe you need to turn back to the scriptures and look at the New Testament. And I say especially for our Bible quizzers today, as you are learning the scriptures, as you're studying them deeply, I applaud you. That's a good thing. But what I want you to remember is the why we do this. We do this because the scriptures reveal to us who Jesus is. And Jesus reveals to us who God is. Jesus is the perfect revelation of who God is, and the scriptures are the revelation of who Jesus is to us. That is why we study, that is why we learn, and that is how we grow. We grow too in the image and likeness of Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much today for all that you've done for us, but especially for how you have shown us who you are in the person of Jesus. And you have called us to follow you daily in our lives. So, Lord, we know that many people have been hurt. Many people suffer. Many people ask questions, good questions. But when we hear these people talking about how they couldn't worship this God, they couldn't worship that God, or they couldn't believe in you because of this, may we be sympathetic to them and understand them. But may we point them toward a better understanding that's shown in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully you here in human flesh. He always has been you, always will be you, and right here today, he is still you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this brings us to the portion of our service for the sharing of praises and prayer concerns. So if you have any that you would like us to be praying for, anything, please feel free to share that with us right now.